Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
I never brought you away from me. I hope I didn't get your mind. Your heart is too strong anyway. We need to fetch back the time.
Welcome back to the counseling show of 590 The Fan. Bob Ramsey, TJ Moe. We are here for your questions, any relationship advice, issues whatsoever. We are here to answer your questions.
On the couch with TJ, Rammer, and Rock.
I love it. There you go. We actually, I love talking sports, but it's shallow at its base, right? We're talking sports, and it's as deep as you want to dive into numbers. And it's one of the more shallow things you talk about. It has very little meaning.
True. It actually is true.
It can take over a city, and that's great, and it can have an impact. All that stuff's
good. It's really fun.
It's awesome. But the most interesting conversations are far deeper into some of the stuff we're talking about last hour and what we talk about off the air oftentimes. It's, you know, personal, person-to-person stuff that you dive into, who you are and what you're about and all that kind of stuff. Like, I can tell you what I think about Drew Lock's completion percentage and how it's going to translate to the NFL all day, which we're about to do.
Right.
But those other conversations are way more fun, but in small snippets, they wear me out. Like, if you got to talk, this is why guys don't like to open up to their wife so much, because it is a draining conversation. At the end, I just want to go take a nap.
Honey, the game's on. Can we do it later?
That's right. That brought tomorrow. Me down, even though it was good. I'm still exhausted. Like, it was a great conversation. I'm glad we connected. This was great. I also am out of energy. Can I just please open up this Capri Sun and watch this game?
The Capri Sun.
Capri Sun?
Why are you hating, Rock?
I'm not hating yet. I just need to establish that you are in fact buying Capri Suns as a 27-year-old adult.
I don't have any Capri Suns right now, but I do
right
really
now.
Like them.
But that's because you ran out.
I've not had one in a few years.
Okay, so my big issue with that is if you have a Capri Sun as an adult, you look at yourself. You're like, how did kid me ever satisfy himself with one of these? Because I'll have a Capri Sun now, and it's like three sips and it's gone.
Really,
I need four more of these before I'm gonna ever feel anything close to satisfied. Like, you go through, like, you buy a box of them, you're like, yep, this is going to be my after drink dinner drink. Like, no,
this
the
one box.
The box.
Yeah.
The sausage wheelie says, how about this? And it is a picture of a plug-in floating duck.
He says, by Dr.
Jack Kevorkian, who of course is the very first person who ever did euthanized anyone.
And then it has a warning on there that says, please make sure you're comfortable with this decision. And it's a rubber ducky connected to an AC cord.
Dr. Kevorkian.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know if he was trying to care about people or what he was doing, but that's not legal.
Well, I mean, not, you know, it's in Oregon.
Didn't they just
Washington? Oregon?
Yeah, they did just
do it. Michigan?
No. He was the first ever assisted suicide
Oregon.
Was up in Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was Oregon. But they just, this has been a topic of discussion again, by the way, about whether or not if you are terminally ill, can you choose to just be done?
What's worse is if we go to socialism, they'll choose for you. And that's the fear.
Splashback Deuce, to me, someone saying shame on you means you should know better, you little turd. P.S.
Yes, you are correct, sir.
Which is true. Poor wording, but that's absolutely true. P.S. Rock, never outgo Capri Suns. Shame on you.
Listen, the only reason I was judging you is only because the size
hasn't, why don't you?
Because the difference is that a pack of Gushers is still sustains me in the amount of sugar it has. That's why I still every once in a while,
wait,
if they're on sale,
you're in your late 20s eating Gushers?
Exactly, because I wasn't judging him for drinking Capri Suns and that you're drinking Capri Sun. I was judging him only because as an adult, it's hard to drink a Capri Sun.
As an adult, I had four packs of fruit snacks yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Why are there fruit snacks in your house of all people? I would have guessed you were the last person that had fruit snacks.
Because I was
in your
at
house.
Walmart and I was very hungry.
Dude, if I'm walking down, the problem is they put like the Hostess cupcakes and stuff and like the Gushers in the same aisle as like bread. So I'll go down to get like a loaf of bread so I can make chicken sandwiches.
Put your blinders on, brother.
And I walk past and I see the on sale signs for like fruit roll-ups and Gushers and fruit by the foot. Things that when I was a kid was literally every other commercial, but my parents, because they were good parents, refused to buy me. And now I'm like, I don't know, I got the money for this.
You know what helps?
They got me now.
Oldsters. like me is, they didn't have that stuff when we were kids.
And exactly.
So it has no meaning or value to me.
Honestly.
So we lucked out. Because I'm sure, I think there are some addictive tendencies in my personality.
Oh, really?
I'd probably be right there with you on the fruit roll-ups and the gushers.
We were just talking about the NHL. I would actually love to see like their marketing and see if they like actually like break it down to how much of their sales go to like parents who are buying for their kids lunches every day, and how much are going to 25-year-olds
lonely
who are just like, I wanted this when I was a child, and I never got it as often as I wanted, and I only could eat one bag a day, but now I'm going to eat this entire box today and hate myself, but 12-year-old me is going to be really excited. And I just want to see what the breakdown of their sales are, because I have to think it's actually a chunk.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
That was like a Hadley take. It's got to be a chunk, which means even if it's nothing at all, he's still right.
Chunk.
That's right. Well, that's a chunk. How big of a chunk do you take?
Listen, we're all learning how to take certain shortcuts so that we never have to actually be called on what we're saying here.
Not me. I'm very specific. Specifically want you to play right above it right now as
Speed
we
limits?
Get to the Rammer 6 that I'm about to do.
Speed limits?
With your St. Louis card. I've never broken a speed limit one time in my entire life. How's that for specifying? I've never acknowledged that they exist.
That's beautiful. That is as existentially beautiful.
So that's the reality. 855-282-8255. Your thoughts are welcome. Thank you guys, as always, for being a part of the show. Gina Ojic from Bevo Mill Capri Suns are nasty. Yoo-hoo, however, is an awesome drink.
Oh,
and
God.
You still drink it daily.
Brutal. Brutal.
You're not giving yourself much of a leg to stand on when you're like, yeah, that's obviously the one I want to stick with, Yoo-hoo. I tried to drink Yoo-hoo a few months ago, and it's so heavy. It's so heavy. Like, that's not
it's like 30 weight.
I like chocolate milk, but like that is not like I need to like buy a regular thing of milk and then mix it with the Yoo-hoo, and then I think I'd have a drink that I think would be a lot better.
Are we queued up?
We're ready to go.
Do it. All right. This is Cardinal centric. We talk very little baseball, and I kind of feel bad about that because that is Rammer's most favorite thing.
It almost sounds like, and I'm with you, almost like the Cardinals are winning and we're already starting to take it for granted. We shouldn't.
Yep, I'm with you. So we got, maybe these are jumping off points. Maybe they're just quick hitter questions. You decide. We've got six of them. Some fill in the blanks, some...
I'm taking notes, by the way. I got the pen out.
I like it. Here we go. All right, number one. When do we start to worry about Matt Carpenter? Matt Carpenter is in a place today where I don't think, because the Cardinals are doing so well, that anybody is worrying, perhaps enough. But he's sitting at a .202 batting average, a .328 on-base percentage, and a .356 slug. He's got of the everyday guys, he has got the second worst OPS, only 2 points better than Yadier Molina at .684. And he's a guy that, while leading the team in walks, has looked like a shell of who he was last year. And the underlying metrics do not show what they showed last year, that he's going to come blasting out of this at some point.
The answer is Memorial Day. Somebody will do the research. I will not. But I think all those numbers were equal to or better than where he was on this date last year.
Yes, but that was the last point, the last part of my point. Every one of his underlying, he was crushing the ball last year with terrible luck. That's not true this year.
He had to get to that point. Not from day one, he wasn't. Not from day one. It built up. Still a lot of strikeouts. The thing that was really alarming was the other night, 4 strikeouts.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not saying don't be alarmed. I'm saying, if it's Memorial Day and we're still down under 220 and more strikeouts and that sort, then I think we got to figure something out. I was actually thinking about this the last couple of days, and he has earned the right to figure it out.
Absolutely.
Earned the right to figure it out for a while. Then here's the other problem. There is no internal answer to replace him.
No. Unless you're actually going to sit him to give him time. Maybe sit him for a couple weeks, maybe 2 weeks. Maybe, because remember, a couple years ago when
you don't have a guy to play instead.
Well, you're right. If that's another question later on down the road. That's question number six. But for the leadoff position, forget the field because I'm with you.
There are some other answers I'd be comfortable with leading off.
Dexter Fowler today, and that's another question at some point too.
Okay.
Dexter Fowler is hitting .313. He's got an on base of .415. He's slugging .425.
There are other answers.
And he's got some experience doing it. So, anyway, Memorial Day is our answer there. Good. The 19-10 start, this is question number two, one of the best in franchise history. That means, fill in the blank.
That means you have a little room to stumble moving forward. Not a lot. You don't want to lose 10 in a row and waste it all. But if you were 10-19, you'd be really feeling the pressure and pressing and all that sort of thing. And it's not that they won't play as hard as they do every day, but it just gives you a little bit of a mental cushion if you run into, if you hit a speed bump along the way.
Do you think it means, this is still question two, do you think it means they should be considered the favorite to win the division? Do you think it has either legitimized or changed your mind to the fact that they are a World Series contender? Do you think it means that the team has come together substantially faster than you thought they would? Like, what of all of those there? I just threw three more questions at you, but is it just, we're not 20% of the way through the season yet? It means nothing.
No, I think you'd rather start well than have to fight your way back.
Yeah.
Although even that can give you a little bit of an edge, see the St. Louis Blues. Mm. But it's nice to get out there again. You've got those speed bumps that you can find ahead of you.
Has it made you more of a believer, I should say?
I was a believer through the winter. I thought they had a good, maybe not quite great, but at least a B-plus winter. And spring training was a little bit of a downer. It was like, oh, man,
yeah.
Did we do as much as I thought we did? And then with one of the things I really feared was that organizationally they were going to force Dex down our throat. And Martinez was not going to play. He is one of the three or four best hitters. And if you take out power, probably maybe the best hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this, I think, Monday. Schilt is a meritocracy guy, it appears, to this point. Guys who play the best play the most. And I think that's healthy and really good for the club. And that's why, circling back to question one, that's why, but we'll give a little more cushion to a veteran who's really, really, really been good in Carpenter and let him give him a chance to figure it out.
Colton Wong, he has played in 29 games, all 29. He's got a .272 batting average, a .398 on base, and a .467 slug. That is good for an .866 OPS, the same as a guy named Paul Goldschmidt, and that is 33% better than the league average.
Well, a lot of what Wong has done, who went to that ridiculously hot start, which is great, but the bunt last night, I'd like to talk to my friends, the anti-buntites, who
the never bunters.
Yeah, the never bunters.
It's like the never Trumpers, but with a better reason.
You can't bunt with two outs. You can't. Now, that even goes to old school thinking.
Yeah.
I got yelled at by some parents because in a youth game, I think, what were we? Sixth graders, 12, 13 years old, and we had a poor kid up at the plate who had zero chance. Now, the others might argue with me, but I'm convinced as the coach, my guy, who I love, at that moment did not have a chance to get a hit. Zero chance. Zero. I'm not kidding you.
Yep.
So I had him bunt to get the run home because he was fast enough. Didn't work. But I'm convinced, though, that it was the right thing to do. Him just flailing away at three pitches gave us no chance to do anything. The only way he could get into play was to bunt. So the fact that Wong did that, I thought it was, I don't even know if I call it gutsy. I just thought it was, hey, I can do this, and they can't stop it. I loved it.
So the question is this. You will buy that this is the new Colton Wong when...
When he doesn't go into a prolonged slump. If he is still, I'm not even talking, take away even some of the power numbers, but he's hitting the ball all over the field and using his legs by the middle of June, give it another 6 weeks, and I'm convinced that's the deal.
He, for the record here, is, if I can find it, he has four defensive runs saved, which is leading the team with Paul DeJong.
I think the stress of the previous regime, I always thought Wong was a guy that thought too much. mm-hmm. about his game and carried failure with him rather than just forget about it, maybe learn from it and move on. And I think the support shown by Shilt and this regime, that Wong is the perfect kind of guy to perform under a new thought process.
I think that's exactly right. It has absolutely changed him, which leads us to our next question here. The question is separate from, I'm going to lead into it here. Dexter Fowler has been an entirely different cat, and that's after a rough start. He's actually fought back. It's the opposite of what Wong has done a little bit. He has actually fought back to have a .313 batting average, a .415 on base, and a .425 slug. He's got an .840 OPS, 28% above league average. The question here, and there's one more thing to add on, is has Dexter Fowler done enough to make himself tradable? The add-on to that is this. He's tied with Paul DeJong and Colton Wong for the most defensive runs saved, and I think he's top 10 in the entire major leagues right now with 4. And that is largely having spent a lot of time in center field with Harrison Bader out.
Right.
That's a tougher place to play, and he's actually shown an arm that we haven't seen here in 2 years.
So your question is, has he in a month, 5 weeks, made himself an asset, whether mm-hmm. he's playing for you or you move him?
Exactly.
Has he done that? He is in the process of doing it. I think if I were another GM who maybe, let's just use the Yankees, for example, desperate for some outfield help, I think it's too early to make a move like that. But if he is performing similarly by late June and the Yankees still can't get guys healthy and back, though, that's the kind of situation that could bear fruit. But if he's still doing that then, I think he'd be too valuable to move. The Cardinals.
Yeah, especially with already having run into some injury issues.
Yeah.
I think that is totally fair, and it is the most pleasant surprise of the season so far.
Really, and really happy for the guy.
Absolutely. Again, a guy that he didn't have a good attitude with Mike Matheny, but
no.
Neither did Colton Wong.
No.
Neither did some other guys within the clubhouse there. Everybody's outlook seems to have changed to some degree, and the guys that looks. It doesn't make Dexter Fowler or Mike Matheny a bad guy that they didn't mesh. But sometimes
right.
You just don't mesh.
That's exactly
I
right.
think they're both individually great dudes. And it just wasn't working. It's working with Mike Shilt. And I think that's unlocked this type of play.
And I don't know Dex, but I do know Mike, and he is a great guy.
Absolutely.
But something about the facade or the demeanor or the countenance or something in the way he ran the ship just didn't mix enough with enough personalities.
That's right. Okay. Jed Jerko, 20 at-bats through 30 games. He is hitting 100. You would do what with Jed Jerko?
If I could find a potent left-handed bat. Potent.
Drew Robinson.
Potent.
Okay.
Left-handed. Thomas. He's not with you.
It might be time for the party to be over.
You could try Brett Cecil out at the plate. He's left-handed.
He probably could hit 100.
I mean, that is atrocious, right? I mean, if you're looking at stuff. And it's only 20 at-bats, which, look, you're not
he's
even...
He's not going to play much. And so...
And we knew that coming in.
And we knew that coming in. And so, if he's not going to play much anyway, and I'd rather have Munoz in the field or at the plate, even though he's erratic in the field... He's athletic, and I know that. Let me just put it this way: I don't want to bury Jerko, but let me say this: his look belies his athleticism.
Yeah,
or it's the other way around. He's a better athlete than he looks.
Right,
but he, like most here, he probably needs to get in a groove and get somewhere where he can play a little bit to see what he has left. And, again, if I could find a left-handed pinch hitter, a really good left-handed pinch hitter, I would try and find a way to get him and put him in that Jerko spot and then do whatever you have to do with Jed. It would be better, and it would be better for him as a player to move on, even if he's in a bench role somewhere else, but somewhere where he could DH and, you know, come in defensive switches.
Right.
He's seeming more and more like an American League guy.
And Carpenter is actually playing fairly well on the field. He's a plus one defensive
run. Doing okay.
And he had a great play yesterday.
He did.
Barehanded it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has improved substantially. For a while there, everybody thought second base was the best position. I think he's a better third baseman than he ever was the second baseman.
The other thing, it's too bad Jed's off to a slow start, because this ties into whatever question was. Was it number one about Carpenter? Anyway, if he continues to flail away and struggle, and we get into the late May and into early June, and it's still not very much production, and Jed might get a chance to play a little more.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
But
we know Jed's good in the field.
Yeah, you don't want to be at that point.
That's right.
You want Carpenter to get hot, and then don't worry about the rest of it.
And at this point, even if Carpenter's struggling, if the team's playing like this, you don't touch it. Leave it. If you're going to win 19 of every 29 games that you play, leave it. Because the lineup is scoring runs. Mm-hmm. They have the fourth most runs per game in the entire majors. The Cubs just passed them in the National League. They were leading the National League yesterday. Like, per game, they score runs. So if Matt Carpenter is hitting .202 for you and you guys are near the top in runs scored, don't mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
Not
I agree.
At all. All right, last one here. If things go south for Carlos Martinez this year, the chances that he is on a different roster next year are?
If it goes further south, he'd be in Antarctica. He'd be playing with the Penguins. If it goes south, what are the chances he's here next year? I'd say 50-50 at best.
I think it's less than that.
Might be.
I think the
Might
Cardinals
be.
Were very frustrated going into this year. I think that frustration came out when they more or less blamed his offseason on him strictly. That there's not really an injury. The guy just didn't get it done. And it's similar to what they did with Ozuna. And Ozuna's a guy that mostly everybody around town will tell you that they're done with. You are in that. They're not. Whether he hits 45 home runs this year or not, they're probably not going to re-sign him. I think that's exactly where they are with Carlos Martinez. And his talent and what he could bring you on any given day in the starting rotation was going to keep him here. He's on a good contract. He had some sort of dispute a couple years ago at a bar they were still dealing with, all the, you know, whatever, I've read it.
So yeah.
There are things going on here. If this is who you're getting, I think the Cardinals are more than happy to be part with him.
When bar is a charitable description for the place they were at.
Where is the,
So
you got a 20,
weren't they over in Western Illinois?
I don't know.
25-man active roster, 40-man roster, and what do you have, 6 minor league teams, whatever it is. To have that many athletes from all over the world coming and playing, to say you're not going to have any knuckleheads or we're never going to sign knuckleheads, that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have
but
knuckleheads,
giving a knucklehead a second
immaturity,
contract.
Those kinds of things. But when you can winnow the knuckleheads out, the immature guys out, you know, and here it's a funny line. You know it. It's at every level. It's a sliding scale of knuckleheadedness and performance, right? The better you perform, the more we'll tolerate. But if you can't even get on the field, we're not going to tolerate it, big boy.
And I think there's a difference between
having... Can't make the club in the tub.
There's a difference between having knuckleheads in your organization and signing knuckleheads to a second contract.
Well, in fairness... Yeah,
and that's where I think the Cardinals probably... They'll take a risk on a guy in the draft. But when it comes to, you know, when he's in the major league and now we're talking about giving him a $50 million contract or $150 million contract.
But they already
contract,
did that with Carlos. They already did it.
So that was the first contract.
No. They never gave, if we're going by first contract, is your arbitration years and such, because they never had to do that with Ozuna. They just traded for
him.
They signed Carlos to a 5-year, $50-something million contract. Like, the dude got picked, not by best pitcher in the NL standards.
And then they expressly said they had to move into the bullpen because his work ethic was trash. That happened after they gave him that contract. And I think that's a big distinction.
Are you talking about right now?
No, I'm talking about last year.
They didn't say his work ethic was trash. They said he lacked focus.
No, they said the exact reason that they were moving him to the bullpen was because he was not showing up and doing his work if he wasn't a starter. And some days when he was a starter, he was showing up late. So the only way to get him in the building every day and make sure he was showing up every day was moving to the bullpen because it required
Bob, is
that
the way you understood it? The way I understood it last year was that he's lacking focus in the starting rotation. He's been hurt a little bit. We just need to move him. We think he can stay more engaged.
I think the move was right, but I think there were some undertones. You're both a little bit right.
I don't know if there are even undertones. They detailed that it was about getting him on a regimented schedule, and that's what happens when you move to the bullpen is you have to be ready every single day. And we knew the stories about him being late to certain starts. And so that wasn't hidden.
I don't remember any of that. I remember that coming up for Fowler as a guy that walked in on time. I don't recall that so much for Carlos.
Yeah, but lack focus, I think, is one of those phrases that lets you know we're really not happy with his work ethic.
Yeah, I think that is fair. Part of it for him, though, was not always off the top. He would just have he would just lose it in the third inning sometimes. And then it wasn't like, all right, he's falling apart. Then he'd let up three and then come back and throw four scoreless. Like, mm-hmm. It was like, and that was routine. It's like, I think it was a second inning, actually, that it was like, why does he have the worst second inning and all? Like, he's actually lacking focus. That's not a work ethic thing. That's actually staying engaged.
And that's why I thought in the offseason, and I think most people went the other way, that I thought that maybe for him to be, give us the best Carlos Martinez for the longest period of time, meaning years, would be out of the bullpen.
Yep.
A real weapon out of the bullpen, because really that so-called lack of focus in game, that's kind of followed him. Even in his really good years, he'd have those moments.
Yep, that's right. So. Exactly right. Hey, we're going to be broadcasting live from Rosalita's on Washington Ave all day on Friday, May 3rd, starting with TMA and broadcasting live until 6 p.m. Rosalita's Catino in St. Louis, go-to Tex-Mex. It is your go-to Tex-Mex all throughout the year. But on May 5th, it is St. Louis's go-to Cinco de Mayo party spot with live music all day featuring DJ Music, Mariachi, Mendez, STL, and Latin band Vladimir Ferrara. You can ride the mechanical bull rock, plus two balloon twisters and two face painters that John Hadley is going to utilize. They'll all be there. Tex-Mex, margaritas, and Cinco de Mayo done right. It's all happening at Rosalita's on Washington Ave. All right, Chris Kerber is going to be coming up previewing tonight's game 4 against the Dallas Stars. We're going to talk a little bit of football. I don't know how in-depth we're going to get into it, but we're going to do that on the other side. It's Hardline.